So this paper is based on ethnographic anthropological fieldwork. Describes how women village health workers, VHW, that's the first abbreviation, without formal primary health care, gain the knowledge, experience, and self-confidence to mobilize community improvement and affect social change by connecting their everyday experiences and local gendered contexts to underlying social, political, and economic processes. Village health workers are the linchpin of the Comprehensive Rural Health Project, CRHP, that's the other abbreviation, begun in 1970 in Jamket, India. The India slide is missing, so. It is in Maharashtra, 250 miles east of Mumbai. The overwhelming gender inequality and social isolation faced by village women is part of the global challenge that motivated Raj and Mabel Arole, Shobha's parents, to create CRHP. Based on a participatory approach built on a human rights-based perspective, the mission statement addresses that health is a human, a universal health right. Eliminating injustice, which denies all people access to that right, underlies the very essence of our work and our approach. By mobilizing and building capacity, communities can achieve health care, and freedom from poverty, hunger, and violence. Mann et al., Jonathan Mann, emphasized that the synergistic relationship between health and human rights necessitates attention to social determinants. Sen and Alston assert that gender inequality and the power relations that perpetuate it are the most influential social determinants of health. Gender inequality damages health of millions of girls, we've already heard that, and women, and is harmful to men's health. Consequently, addressing women's rights to improve gender equity and ultimately benefits the entire community. This paper suggests that the integration of local knowledge and experience into complex health and development projects creates the foundation to introduce human rights perspective that challenges the status quo of gender and caste inequality. As you see in this slide, the woman on the right in the red, is working for $1 a day as a road builder. Okay, Lalanbhai Kadim, pictured here, represents the first generation of village health workers who in one lifetime accomplished the poignant transition from 12-year-old bride to respected health worker and teacher in her village. As she states here in a 2006 interview, "My name is Lalanbhai. My village is Pimpalgaon Alwa. I'm giving service to my village since 1973. I never thought, who am I? I thought I was less than any animal. I never thought that this was bad. I am standing on my own. The village children are well nourished, and the people call me doctor." Okay, now in its 40th year, CRHP is based on three principles of equity, integration, and empowerment. The model uses a social science perspective and demystifies biomedicine while promoting a participatory model. It is not hard biomedical technology, but social action that improves health. In 1978, the World Health Organization Alma-Ata Conference defined primary health care and recognized it as a key to achieving social development and social justice. The Jamket model, the CRHP model, served as one of the templates for comprehensive-based primary health care approach. And the central idea of Alma-Ata, health for all by the year 2000, was ratified by 135 nations. Nevertheless, the ink on the document wasn't dry when the alternative approach of selective primary health care was forced on international health with pressure from the World Bank, Rockefeller Foundation, USAID. As Navarro points out, the consequences of neoliberal medicine has had a negative impact on the United States, yet neoliberalism, or the Washington Consensus, ignores social determinants of health and promotes privatization. For example, in this is David Harvey's book cover. In the 1980s, structural adjustment programs obliged governments to bolster economic growth by applying spending caps on health, education, and other social programs. None of these market-driven policies and health programs from the 70s until today, and you can make your own judgment about the Millennium Goals, have addressed the underlying social, political, and economic factors that increase health disparities and inequalities, especially of race, caste, class, sexual orientation, and gender, both within and between countries. However, on the 30th anniversary of Amma Atta, Dr. Chan, the current director of the World Health Organization, reaffirmed her commitment to primary health care because, as she put it, it was an idea that never actually happened. Nevertheless, I suggest, along with Hong and others, that selective neoliberal strategies undermined a major component of Alma Ata, the potential for local mobilization that would ultimately lead to social change, thus raising the question, what were selective strategies intentionally designed to short-circuit? So Dr. Maybelle and Rajaroli, both with MPHs from Hopkins before it was the Bloomberg School of Public Health, demonstrate that the success of the JAMCET model of Health for All works. Local participation is the cornerstone of the CRHP JAMCET model that engages the entire community for its knowledge, cooperation, support, and ability to plan and maintain health. For instance, the Arole started by establishing farmers clubs with village men, who then identified two initiatives for clean potable water and better nutrition for children. With external funding, two wells were dug, and breakfast programs for children established. However, the Arolis purposefully incorporated measures to redress gender and caste inequality in each project. So for instance, all the tube wells were placed exclusively in the Dalit, the untouchable areas on the periphery of villages. And these areas were usually avoided by other higher castes. So finally, farmers clubs and elected officials recommended that local village women should be trained as health workers, one for each village. And consistent with the CRHP model, there was participation of all caste, social, economic, and religious factions. And initially, women were selected by Agam Saba, a village meeting. The selections then become a village-centered decision. The village has a stake in the success of the project, and the woman selected for training has a mandate from her community. This process is crucial in communities where there is a long history of women who have no standing. Amartya Sen asserts that women who do not attend school or own property bear the burden of strenuous work and are exposed to domestic and physical violence. Mohanty points out that our social history has created patterns of social relationships, values, and beliefs. These are arranged marriages. To quote, treat these factors as purely ideologies which can be transformed without change in consciousness is to ignore the social roots of caste and class oppression. Consequently, this intersection of caste, class, and gender provide a basis for an analysis of lived inequities. For example, Salubai Dalit, now in her sixties, was thrown out of her house at age 12 after delivering a stillborn. Because her family had no means to support her, Salubai was forced to live alone, working as a day laborer, cleaning cow sheds. She was often starving and still cries when talks about being raped while begging for food. Yet Salubai does not see herself as a victim. Like other women health workers, her trauma enabled her to understand the purposefulness of agency and the goal of social transformation. Reflecting on her life as a village health worker, she said, "My mother and her generation never had any opportunity, but I had the opportunity and I was able to live my story. You need to show people kindness, even if they get angry. They thought I couldn't do anything because I was a Dalit, so I worked hard." The Arroyos characterized the basis for selecting village health workers as preferably a woman, representative of the poor, accepted by the poor, roots in the community, residency in the community, literacy level on par with the community, motivation and commitment to work as a vocation, because these women are not paid, and the desire to learn. VHWs actively learn about underlying social factors such as the effects of gender and caste inequality on health and well-being. In Jamket villages, there are many different caste elites and a small percentage of Muslim households. However, before training at CRHP, women of different castes never socialized or even interacted with each other. As one woman put it, "Your mother-in-law and husband tell you, when you go to the well, you do not speak to anyone. If my husband ever saw me talking to another woman, that was enough of an excuse to beat me up. A husband values his animals more than his wife." In contrast, all women interviewed for this project state that the most important aspect of CRHP are the learning environments and the relationships women develop with each other. They use the Maratha word maya, friendship, or prem, meaning love. In the early 1970s, the idea of breaking down caste barriers so that village health workers would care for all of the members of the village and promote equity was a primary focus. Barriers of different castes eating and being together were addressed creatively. For instance, a universal quilt was stitched together by symbolically integrating women from different castes and religion. This was obviously done by a local artist. In the early days, most women in the Jamket region were illiterate. Therefore, a learning method was devised by women and staff using local aphorisms, songs, and stories. Here you see such a learning device, the flashcard, with the allegory that a child must cross seven rivers before he or she reaches age three. For the last 40 years, three generations of VHWs have met weekly at CRHP. Much of the learning is accomplished through an intergenerational mentoring process that creates lifelong relationships regardless of caste or religion. Each VHW remembers the incident or series of events that helped her finally gain the acceptance and respect of the people of her village. VHWs are continually providing a range of services. They keep infant growth records, they reduce fevers and prevent serious diarrheal diseases with oral rehydration therapy. Consequently, mothers became confident that their children would survive. Thus, this trust led women to accept other health recommendations like family planning. VHWs are teachers and health educators. Their learning is an ongoing process, and they frequently hold meetings in the evening to teach women what they themselves have been taught. VHWs campaign for positive health behaviors and try to dispel superstitions and other detrimental practices. For example, women did not breastfeed their babies until the third day after birth. Through their work, VHWs have become prominent in their villages and partly responsible for the sustainability of the Jamket model. The accomplishments of CRHP are dramatic. In 1970, the infant mortality rate was 176 per thousand. Today, the rate is less than 24 per thousand. You can see on the end the government rate, lower than the national average. CRHP has eliminated endemic diseases, solved entrenched health problems, and as you see at the top of this chart here, VHWs are the center of organizational health in the villages. VHWs advocate for social change, and they started women's clubs called Mahilavikas Mandals in each of their home visits that act as a central organizing center for health education. VHWs initiated Bishi money sharing and that allowed women to start local village businesses selling bangles, dried fish, and brooms, or to purchase goats. These groups accessed government micro credit loans for larger projects like dairies. Three village health workers have become elected officials in the village governing bodies. Bye-bye. pictured here is the sarpanch of her village. I interviewed her about her work as a sarpanch. And I'm getting to the end. First, I had fear. I was bold but worried. I was not literate. The village was having faith in me. Slowly, slowly, I learned. There were some problems in government housing. The Maratha wanted more houses. I said it should be fair. The Maratha are the dominant caste. I sanctioned 20 houses, only 6 for the Maratha. The other went to the Mong, Kohli, and Muslims. I built a road in the Harijan Basti, the Dalit neighborhood, for the bus. I gave each family 4 sapling trees. This is my Marathi informed consent. To conclude, my anthropological research applies a gendered approach to explain how issues of gender, caste, and equity fit into the broader meaning of power and power relationships that form the basis for women's transformation. Over the last 48 years, CRHP has educated and training center, clinics, and hospital have demonstrated the effects of community-based healthcare and reduced mortality and morbidity, producing a sustained health and development projects. It is the while CRHP provides training and focuses on women's inequality and caste injustice, it is the relationships among the women who daily in their villages and weekly at training centers identify the inequities that harm health and well-being. It is this ongoing commitment to women for continuing learning that invigorates the relentless struggle and resistance to challenge gender and caste inequality and to support women's rights.
That was great. Questions? Yeah.
Thank you. I have a question for the second presenter.
Yes.
Yeah, in terms of the curriculum for change and health workers, is that curriculum integrated in the national curriculum for the do you have any steps from planning to do that individually?
The curriculum is somewhat individualized for the project that we're working on. It's not. So the curriculum that we are using for the community health worker training is specific to our program. There's a broad-based training that was given to all the community health workers when the whole concept was first initiated by the government. So this is sort of additional training that I'm providing specifically to the community health workers in the area that we're working.
So I think my issue is how then you, because what you're doing is good, but then how then do you
So what we're hoping is after completion of this project and the data collection to actually show that it's something that's worth replicating, we're hoping that it will be integrated into the government. And we actually are already seeing some small steps towards that just in the initiation of our maternity center. The birthing center itself is already somewhat too small for the volume that it's seeing, and the government has already started renovating a nearby building and is paying for all of the renovations so our birthing center can move into there. So I think we're seeing some of the initial steps that the government is happy with what we're doing, so we're hoping in the end that they will be able to recreate this whole concept as a whole and do it throughout the country. That's a really good question, actually. It's something I was quite concerned about in the beginning was how this would be accepted in the community, but I think the fact that this was in response to what the community asked for, the birthing center was not initially an idea that I had. It sounded like sort of a large thing to take on, but it was something that they very specifically were asking for. So I think that definitely helped. And in addition, there's been a widespread across the country effort from the Ministry of Health to get women to start having attended deliveries, whether it's something like a birthing center, which ours is the only one in the country right now, but just coming into health centers. So there's been a push through the community health workers to get these women in for delivery. So this is just an easier place for them to come because it's closer. So far it's been pretty well accepted.
Yes.
I had a question. In regards to addressing the delay in the model, within the work center, are you guys going to do any kind of planning around prevention of complication infections? Just to my own research understanding, I don't have no problems that seems to be also on the research work with the high rate of the so are you guys going to get assessment?
Yeah, infection control is sort of, the question was whether or not we're addressing some of the infection control issues at the maternity center, which can be, life-threatening in many situations, especially when we're talking about laboring women and delivery. So we definitely are. This is part of the basic initial training that we did with community health workers, and then specifically with the nurses in those photographs you saw at the community, at the health center. We did some community oriented as well as health center oriented infection control lectures.
Why don't we, everybody's okay up here, might be something. But why don't we close up, and if people have other questions, they can just come and ask us individually so we can attend to other things, okay? Thank you very much for attending.